Thank you, Stephen and Cherie. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of 2 Chronicles. It's in the Old Testament. Book of 2 Chronicles. This book offers a chronology of the different kings of the path of Israel and their relationship with the Lord, or when it lacks in that relationship. But it also has some golden nuggets for you and I that allows us to understand the heart of our Heavenly Father and what His statutes mean to us, or what they can mean if we allow them, especially if we stay in His way. We talked a lot this morning in prayer and in different times of following His statutes, staying true to our commitment and true to His commandments. As we talked last week, commandments are not what the world would say they are. They are actually hedges of protection for you and I. He gives us freedom, but He sets those bounds not as to tell us the do's and don'ts. It is to protect us, and it is for our best interest, even as I gave the example of you keeping your children within a fenced area so they can't get out in the street and the roadway to be run over. It's about protection. Our Lord also talks to us about, and you've heard the scripture reading and the music and the prayer a while ago, prayer and praise time, and this last song especially fit there, and I appreciate that. And the musicians will tell you, I don't tell them what songs to sing, and they don't tell me what passage to preach on, but God always orchestrates it together. And with that said, the title of the message is The Destruction of Doubt. Doubt for our faith is a cancer. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, Jesus there proclaims, He says, O ye of little faith, why do you doubt? Think about that for a moment. And oftentimes it's not so much in what we say, it's in what we do or our actions that we display doubt. We sing how great thou art. We talk about, your last song says, you're God of all things. We can bring anything to Him, yet our actions, and we hear that and we say that out of our lips and we hear that in our head, but our actions show doubt oftentimes. So doubt brings forth a destruction. And this morning we want to look at King Asa here in 2 Chronicles. And oftentimes I have heard from some people, so kind of putting this up front, and we're going to back into it with looking at King Asa. But a lot of times some folks say, well, you know, you as Christians pray for people that the doctors and all are say they're terminal and there's nothing else they can do. And yet you pray that they're healed and then they end up dying. Your God didn't hear. No, He does hear. And so their question is, why do you pray for those situations that are already too far gone? And health is the easiest one. I mean, sometimes they look and they say, you're praying about this marriage and one party of the marriage has been unfaithful and the other one can't seem to forgive that and work things out. So it can be anything. But doubt brings destruction. And so we want to look at that this morning as we talk about it and understand how you and I have a very critical path in presenting the gospel without doubt. And oftentimes people just don't understand how we can pray for things, and they say, well, I guess your God didn't hear. I want you to think about that for a moment, and as we look at this, see the things where God does hear. God also tells us that His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so very distinctly when we pray, and most of the time you will hear that with a lot of different people and have learned through my time with the Lord that no matter what the prayer is, it's not my will, but His will. For He sees way past what we see. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to start with a very short piece of the message. We're going to stay in 2 Chronicles. And it's going to be kind of the ending, and we're going to back up and understand how we got there. So 2 Chronicles, if you're able to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 12. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers, and he died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients, prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. You may be seated. So while you're there for a moment, who is this king? Some of you may be familiar, some of you may not. Here in 2 Chronicles, if you go back for a moment to chapter 15, and here we read the following. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Odi, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they're in trouble, they turn to the Lord of Israel and sought him, and he was found by them." How familiar that sounds, right? When we're in the binds, when we holler, "Oh Lord." Verse 5, and then in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all of the inhabitants of the land. So the nation was destroyed by nation, and the city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, still talking to Asa, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all of the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Now, move over to chapter 14. Told you it was going to go a little backwards. So that is what the prophet informed Asa as he took over the throne to be the king. Begin in verse 2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all of the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. So we see what is transpiring here. God speaks through the prophet to Asa. Asa listens. And notice it says in the verse 2 that what Asa did was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And so he followed, he removed, he brought back the law. He began to follow the statutes of God. And as we read here in that 14th chapter, the nation prospered. The nation became at peace. They were able to have an abundance of all things. Any nation, when it has godly leaders, will be blessed. We see that even today. If it does not have godly leaders and a nation that follows the statutes of God, it will become in times of famine. It will become in times of destruction and destitute. And so Asa followed, but yet I open this where we find that Asa did not seek God with his affliction. It actually starts in the first part of 16. In the first part, and I won't read it, you may read these at your leisure. In the first part of 16, what takes place is Asa makes a treaty with Syria. He trusts, without going before the Lord, he trusts the king of Syria to continue the peace. I want you to catch hold of that for a minute. He began to doubt God could bring peace without him making a treaty. That doubt has its consequences. And look with me, if you will, beginning in verse 7 of 16. And at that time, Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lebanon not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him into prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. You understand the huge consequences of doubt? When we're strong and faithful, and our actions match what our words and our mind and Scripture has taught us, to put all of our faith, all of our trust in God. I don't care if it's the best friend you've ever had, it's your spouse, if it's a man or a woman, it makes no difference. It can be your preacher. At some point in our relationship, people are going to let you down. It happens because we are not perfect. We fail. We make mistakes. We forget. We have oopsies. We have a bad hair day. And then sometimes it's just flat we didn't want to do it to begin with, but we told you we would. Okay? We're going to be honest. But when we become before our Lord, it is some who is always faithful. From the beginning to the end. He promised because of sin entering into this world, there would be a Redeemer that would come. He gives it throughout Scripture of the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah. We saw that in the birth of Jesus. We saw the life that Jesus lived. We saw Jesus who could have come off of that cross at any point in time, stay with and be obedient to the Father's will, that he gave his life to redeem mine and yours. It is through the blood of Christ that we are redeemed. And through that decision, with no doubt that he would be resurrected in the third day, you and I have life forever, not just to be people, but to be children of God. So when we pray for others, no matter what the situation is, again, we need to come to that time of prayer, and we yield them before the grace of God, His throne of mercy, with our request. That is our request. If God, and we seek His will, not our will, because He sees much further into the future. King Hezekiah went to the Lord, and the Lord told Hezekiah that he was going to die. Hezekiah said, no, don't let me die. Let me live. And the Lord reluctantly finally said, okay, you can have your will. You can read about King Hezekiah in the books of Kings. And the last 15 years of his life were nothing but destruction and turmoil. And he comes to a point in his life, he says, oh Lord, that you had taken my life. See, God knew what was right. But he allows those things for us to see in his sovereignty. He is sovereign in every way. There is a lot of things that you and I do not understand. Again, as I started this, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But it does not mean that He does not hear it. Our prayers and our requests. There have been several times that we have prayed for people who were terminally ill. And I look at some of those things and the plans they had, and they seemed very good. And the things that they were doing were very good. Yet, then they're stricken with an affliction that ends up taking their life. And we sit back and we say, why? In fact, one man told me, he said, it's not the way I planned it. And I said, I understand. But God's got a reason and purpose. If it was nothing more before that man passed, he humbled himself before God and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You see, God loves us that much, folks. He will do whatever he has to bring me and you to bow before him and offer us his salvation. Why do we pray for others when the doctors say it cannot work? Because they're not God. They're man. Jesus also said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. We can't see that. I have to trust in His sovereignty that no matter what the age, whether old or young, and God takes that life home, He has a reason and a purpose out of all of it. You and I are kind of like that old mule. We got blinders on. We see one way of a path. We don't see the full spectrum. And God sees that full spectrum from the past to the present to the future. He promises you and I that all things will work to the glory of Him and our blessings. I've heard some folks say, boy, I sure got a lot of questions when I get to heaven. I'll be real honest. When we get to heaven, you ain't going to remember none of them questions. Because you're going to look into the eyes of the Lord, and it's all answered. He's sovereign. So when you and I pray, or we take consideration of issues of different things, both good and bad, of bringing before the Lord, folks, don't trust in man, trust in Him. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, it's all about faith. Not about doubt. See, one of the greatest tools of the devil is doubt. Look from the very beginning. When the serpent came before Adam and Eve, and he began talking to Eve, and she said, oh, we can't eat of this fruit. And remember the words? You look back in Genesis. He said, now, the Lord surely didn't say. He creates that doubt. Because if he can get you to doubt, he begins to destroy the faith. You look in our time, in our world, it's always about what we learn here, how do we apply it to our lives. We begin to doubt that having prayer matched our constitution in schools. Boy, where has that gotten us? There is a bill right now that sits before the governor to pass that prayer will go back in schools. You pray for our governor. All it takes, the Senate and the Congress have passed it. It simply takes his signature. We must return back to godly statutes. Without it, we do not survive. Not even if you're king do you survive. I mean, when you read that and you see he became diseased in his feet, and 2 years later he dies from it. Brings a whole new meaning to taking care of your feet, doesn't it? Yeah. In Psalms, David writes, "You're a lamp unto my path. You light my way." Our feet are important because where they trod. But more important than that is the faith to follow that light wherever it leads. When we pray for folks and we bring our petitions before the Lord, just as Jesus proclaims in Matthew, where I started, 14:31, we must do that without doubt. See, even as he tells us here in 16, as he told Asa, he said, "For the eyes," in verse 9, "for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Now, does that mean we're not going to have trials or tribulations? Absolutely not. Somewhere along the way, people got the idea that, well, if a Christian has trials and tribulations, apparently you hadn't been doing what God wants. Well, that's possible. But moreover, just as Job, when you're faithful, the trials and tribulations are for others to see your faith, your loyalty, and how strong God is. God never takes away one thing. He does not replenish it many times over. I'm living proof of that. Lastly, I would bring to you with this about doubt. Very familiar in John chapter 11, verses 31 to 44, and you can read those at your leisure. I'm going to paraphrase it. Jesus' friend Lazarus has become very ill. Martha and Mary send notice to Jesus to come quickly, that their brother Lazarus is near death, and they are assured that he can heal Lazarus if he will come. Scripture tells us that Jesus acknowledged it, but yet he stayed 2 more days where he was at before he made his journey to where Lazarus was. And as he is greeted, the first thing he is greeted with is Lazarus has died and been placed in the tomb and a stone rolled in front of it. Kind of a picture already, huh? And the people, the first thing even Mary and Martha say, "Lord, if you'd have just come, our brother would not be dead." What a picture of what doubt will do. They had had Jesus in their home. They had listened to him preach. They had listened to every word that he said and believed him and followed him. Yet because they did not see the healing of their brother, "Lord, if you had only been here." And Scripture says that Jesus wept. I don't doubt that he wept at the passing of his friend, but I do believe, this is my connotation, that he wept more because of the doubt of those who were so close. And of course, he had the stone rolled away and he called Lazarus forth, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus tells you and I, when he sent us the Holy Spirit, He said, you will do far more. And again, paraphrasing, you will do far more than I ever did when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Folks, you and I have the opportunity. God is faithful in everything. His word is true. They sang a song about Jesus coming again and time is winding down. Whether you choose to believe it or not, it is winding down. The prophecy boxes are being checked off fast and furious. You and I have an opportunity every single day, even in places that we don't even think about having the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. For people who are hurting in their marriages, in their lives, whether it's physical or addictions or spiritual, psychological, you and I have that opportunity. You say, well, preacher, but man, I don't know how to speak the right words. Don't doubt. Jesus said at that moment, the Spirit will give you the words to say. And you see, if we begin to think, oh, I don't know the Bible that well, I don't know, we're making excuses. You're playing right into the hands of the devil. You doubt what his word said. You and I seek him ahead of time. There's not a sports team out here that goes and plays that they haven't practiced to win. That's our prayer time. That's our Bible study time. That's our fellowship time together, is preparing for those moments when you and I have the opportunity. And I'll tell you from personal experience, even when you realize that suddenly that opportunity is there and you go, wow, wish I'd have studied a little more on this topic. That Spirit will give you things to recall out of God's Word that you hadn't thought up in ages. And relay it. Doesn't mean you always have to give the exact scripture and verse, but it means that you know the heart of God, and He loves His people, all people, for He created all. Not a single one of us in here was not created by God. Oh yeah, we became physically born from our mother and our dad, but we were created by Him and Him alone. Don't let doubt defeat your prayer life. Don't let doubt defeat your life. Doubt is a tool of the devil. There is nowhere in the Bible that you will find that God ordains in any form or fashion of doubt. Quite the opposite. Our faith, our loyalty, our keeping our eyes on our Lord and Savior and following the Holy Spirit is the antidote to doubt. That's why Jesus could say, why do you worry? Your Heavenly Father knows every need that you have. And not only the needs, but the desires of your heart. The destruction of doubt is to ourselves and our faith, and most importantly, to the gospel of He who gave His life for you and I. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.